Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you will be listening to Jermaine Gale, pastor of the East Lansing University and Lansing Spanish Seventh-day Adventist Churches. And now, here's Pastor Jermaine.
Happy Sabbath again.
How's everyone doing? Are you happy to be here? Yes, I am happy to be here, and I'm enjoying the sunshine. I keep bringing your attention to it because I know that in our future, we're going to be low on vitamin D, so please enjoy as much sunshine as you can while we have it. Now, I want to just invite you to bow your heads with me as we pray, as we talk about wisdom from above. Loving Father in heaven, we ask for your presence today. Father, we ask that you speak to us, that you give us ears to listen. Father, we pray that during this moment that we may be transformed as a result of your Holy Spirit using your words to connect with and to change our hearts. Father, as we talk about wisdom from above, I ask that you give me wisdom now that I may be able to speak on your behalf. Father, I pray that you purify me. And Father, I pray that during this moment, in this transaction, that Jesus may be seen clearly. I pray, Father, that you be with all of us here, everyone who is watching online. We come gather to worship, Lord, with many things in our hearts, many things that we're feeling. We pray, Father, that you may heal the wounds and help us to overcome. We pray all these things, thanking you in Jesus' name. Let everyone say, amen. Amen. Wisdom from above. We continue our series called Wise Words from the Book of James. And I don't know about you, but I've been really enjoying my study of the Book of James. I should have mentioned this before, but it's not too late to say it to you. You can get the most out of these sermons if you take some time to read the Book of James yourself. It is going to be a trend in our church to look at books of the Bible and try to deduce themes and subject matters that are applicable to where we are now. And I would suggest that when you see these things coming out, that you yourself go home and study the books of the Bible so that you may understand beyond what I say. I believe that God has a message for all of us. Amen. And sometimes the best messages are preached to us in our living room or in our bedroom when we spend time with the Word of God ourselves. And so I want to inspire you to do that. Wisdom from above. I want to start by telling you what happened on November 8th, 2018. Most of you might know of this, but this was in Paradise, California. There was a fire that was started, a forest fire that could be seen from space. There are still pictures on the internet that shows you the massive forest fire as it is seen from outer space. It made an unusual and indelible mark on a community. A whole city was consumed by fire. Paradise was burnt. It all started with a single spark, ignited by a faulty electrical line by the PG&E electrical company. All it took was one spark, a drought, the east wind, and havoc was created. The devastation was terrible. It took approximately 17 days to put the fire out. 14,000 properties were destroyed in that fire. 86 people died. Some were in their homes, and some were in their cars trying to make their way out of paradise. All because of one spark. America is paradise. I don't know about you, but there are many beautiful places in America. We speak of the rolling hills of Virginia, and I had the privilege to spend some time in Virginia. Beautiful place. I thought that I would settle in Virginia, but God had other plans. Amen. There are areas out west like Colorado and places to visit in California. There is a great Grand Canyon where you stand on the precipice and realize as you look over into the distance, you realize your own insignificance. You see how small you are in comparison to the Grand Canyon. I remember the first time that I saw it, I was in awe of the beauty. Grand Canyon. Not to mention Washington State and many other states across the U.S. And might I also mention our very own, the state of Michigan, pure Michigan. On my long trips going out of Michigan, whether I go to Virginia or whether I go to home to Philadelphia, I always look for that blue sign when I drive back. I long to see it. For some reason, I just long to see that sign. It just eases a lot of what you feel on your drive. Maybe it's because in Michigan, you can go 70 miles an hour. As you see the blue sign, you know something has changed. And you drive past the pure Michigan sign and you feel at home. Michigan, our beautiful Michigan. There are many paradises in the United States and Michigan is one of them. Don't let anyone tell you that Michigan is not a beautiful place. There are people who say Michigan is too cold, but they don't know that there are other things in Michigan to see and experience. When James Madison stood up in Congress on June 8, 1789, and gave his speech about amending portions of the Constitution, he made his intentions clear when he stated, "The people shall not be deprived or abridged of their right to speak, to write, or to publish their sentiments and the freedom of press," as one of the great bulwarks of liberty, James Madison. We have always championed the right to speak in paradise. Freedom of speech is a right in paradise. We talk about this right, and I found out recently that we even sing about this right. There are many songs dedicated to the idea of free speech. We write about free speech, we write short poems, and we write Facebook posts, and there are memes on free speech. In paradise, we love to talk. There are many opinions that we share, and there are many sentiments and many means through which we can share our ideas in paradise. We talk on social media platforms, in church settings. We talk at the dinner table or in the public park. It seems that we all have something to say in paradise. But the smoke is rising in paradise. Great fires are burning across the U.S. in every state, including Michigan. And heaven looks down on paradise and sees the smoke from space. What am I talking about? James says this in James chapter 3 and verse 5-6. James was not one to mince words. I love the book of James because it challenges you. It gives you a new perspective on life. James has many things to say to the believer. And in a setting where it is very important to consider the things he has to say. Imagine that the book of James was written for those who are living in the last days as it was believed at the time. Which makes it relevant for you and I today, because we also believe that we are living in the last days. James says this in James chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles." It's almost as if James is imagining fire in paradise. "Almost see how great a forest a little fire kindles, just a little spark. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell." Just imagine a sermon like that. The tongue is set on fire by hell. James seems to be unkind. Just imagine James posting this on Facebook. The backlash, the conversation, the comment section. It would make you feel like you just want to sit down and grab some popcorn and read on. James, the tongue set on fire by hell. Just imagine the potency of that great fire in Paradise, California. James says that the tongue has the potential to achieve similar results. Sets on fire the course of nature. There are dinner tables set ablaze around Thanksgiving time when we begin our political conversations. Sons, daughters, mothers lose their appetite as fathers speak their mind about the matters of the day. Public parks set on fire as arguments go back and forth as individuals speak impatiently and passionately about the subject matters that they care about. There are melted computer screens and keyboards burning with the passion of hell as someone types the little Facebook post from their basement. James, the tongue, sets on fire the course of nature. As we seek to defend the American way, people are getting burnt up, hurting inside and outside of churches, and no one seems to care that the person, the individual speaking, seeks to represent Christ in the world. If James were here today, his righteous anger would have been kindled. He would be incredulous to see some of the things that we post online. I am ashamed to hear the things that Seventh-day Adventists say to others. And I am ashamed to see the things that Seventh-day Adventists post online just because they can. There are friends that I have lost over the issue of speech. There were things that I have said that to this day I regret saying. And I remember one time I was confronted about something that I said. It was very uncomfortable. I was called aside and said, I need to talk to you. The person brought someone else for accountability. And I remember standing there listening to the person saying the things that I said before. It was very uncomfortable as I was confronted about the matter. And I listened carefully, and there's a thought that came to my mind as I was hearing the words coming my way. Humble yourself and apologize for what you have done. I remember saying, I am very sorry for the things that I've said. And I remember the experience of humility. And I walked away and said to myself that confrontation is not a bad thing because it helps us to see who we truly are. And it helps us to change into becoming what God intends us to be. So I still remember that moment. Friends, when the framers of the Constitution put into place the idea of free speech, it was on account of the fact that we, the people, could govern our own speech. But more and more, this unruly tongue is controlling and trolling people. We are living in a day and age that the famous 17th century English poet Francis Quarles describes in these terms. Give not thy tongue too great a liberty, lest it take thee prisoner. A word unspoken is like the sword in its scabbard. And that's an old word to describe the sheath of a sword. When it's held in place, no one gets cut. He says, if vented, the sword is in another's hand. If thou desire to be held wise, be so wise to hold thy tongue. I love the way he puts that. Be so wise to hold your tongue. I'm not calling for a nation to govern anyone's speech, but rather that Christians ought to take full responsibility of the things we do and the things that we say. There is power and freedom when one has a proper understanding of how to use the tongue. Just yesterday, I was home, and it was about 9 a.m. when I heard the buzzer. A gentleman walked into the house. We were expecting him. He was coming to fix our internet. And as he walked in, we started talking. In this conversation, we ended up actually talking for 2 hours. Just myself and the cable guy. Someone else walked in from the same company, and he came in too, and he asked if he could have a seat. He sat down, and we started talking too. So there I was in my apartment talking with two strangers. We talked about life, many things we talked about. One of the gentlemen told me that he sent his two kids to school. They're going to school, and it was one of those small seminary schools. I said, "You're a believer?" He said, "Yes, I am." We started talking more about belief, about faith, and he talked about prophets and prophecy. And I said, "There's a good book that I would recommend." He said, "Which book is that?" I said, "The Great Controversy." He said, "Who wrote that?" I said, "Ellen White." He said, "Ellen White, I heard about her. I want to read that book. I would love to read it." And so there on the spot, I bought him two Great Controversies for him and his wife and shipped them to his address. We continued talking. And in the conversation, he divulged. He said, "You know, I work for a boss that is quite mean to me. He pushes me around. He seems to view me as someone who is incapable and dumb. Every single day, I despise going to work. I do not sleep much at night because of my boss." And he says that, "I've talked to many people, but it seems that I cannot get freedom." This gentleman, we talked some more, and the other one, we talked about other things. He was telling me how he's trying to raise his son in a chaotic world and how he's trying to instill good values in his child and so on. And we talked about emotions, we talked about anger, we talked about some touchy subjects, spirituality, and one moment, and it's funny, politics these days, I don't like conversations about it, but sometimes people talk and I listen. They talked about it and I listened, and we talked some more, and eventually the subject changed, and I was able to study the book of Lamentations with the two gentlemen, two cable guys, two strangers in my apartment. We were there studying the book of Lamentations together. One of the gentlemen looked at me and he said, "You know what? That's what I need. I need to seek the Lord more. Because I need to know how to handle myself under these circumstances that I find myself in." And I walked away and I said, "You know, I wonder what is the power of speech? How could we use it to the benefit of others? You see, with the tongue we teach, with the tongue we preach, with the tongue we sing, we curse and condemn with the tongue. With it, we despise and cause fires that burn for a very long time." Think about the people who are hurting to this day because of something you said. Or think about yourself who's hurting to this day because something someone said to you. When I was in high school, I remember a teacher looked at me dead in the aisles as I was trying to do my homework. I was struggling because I had issues that I was really struggling with in my heart. He said to me, "You'll never amount to anything." Speech. Another teacher said to me, "You know what is good about you? You have good handwriting, but you don't have a good brain." Speech. Someone once grabbed my Bible and looked at me dead in the eye after, you know, turning my pages and said, "Look, you don't study your Bible enough. There are no highlights in here." Speech. The Bible has much to say about speech. I want to tell you a few proverbs. Proverbs 12:18 is our first text. It says, "There's one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health." I love that. Healthy people are produced by good speech. Can you imagine that? People are struggling with disease as a result of bad speech. The tongue of the wise promotes health. Proverbs 12 and verse 18. Proverbs 15 verse 1. "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." And we see it all the time. Well, you almost want to shout at people sometimes saying, "Don't respond. Please don't respond. Because if you do, I know what's going to happen." Then we do. And then we see how anger is stirred up. Proverbs 15 verse 2. "The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness." Proverbs 18:21, the Bible says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Death and life are in the power of the tongue. This small thing has so much power. This small thing can drive people to commit suicide, the tongue. Yet there are many who are taken as prisoners by their own tongue. It's not just the people who are hurt. It's the people who say the things that they say who are also imprisoned or prisoners. What follows them are many fires that consume even the best relationships that they could not maintain. They could have maintained if they only knew how to speak well. James chapter 3 and verse 2, James says this. Verse 2, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. Do you realize that Christianity does not mean just how we live? It's also how we talk. Matthew 12, verse 36, 37, Jesus says, but I say unto you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Speech will not escape the judgment. Instagram posts, Facebook posts, Snapchat does not get a pass in the judgment. It all comes to light, and thus we must be careful with what we say and what we post. I can't say all of these things without showing you some kind of solution. But I want to show you the kind of desperation we are in. The tongue needs to be tamed. It's a big beast, even though it's so small. And it needs to be tamed by he who knows how to tame tongues. Now, James provides a way out, a solution that I want you to consider as we talk about wisdom from above. He says in James chapter 3, verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. To solve the issue with the tongue, we need wisdom. That's James' response. From James' perspective, we must always realize that when our tongues are not guided by wisdom from above, we will cause many fires here on earth. And so we need wisdom. There are two types of wisdom that James talks about that can control the tongue, that can control the mind, that can control us. There is the earthly wisdom which provides results such as, according to James, bitterness and envy, self-seeking in our hearts, boasting and lying against the truth. These are results of earthly wisdom. And so as we try to solve our problems with earthly wisdom, we reap bitterness and envy. We reap self-seekers and those who boast and lie against the truth. Earthly wisdom cannot solve our problems. That's James' way of putting it. James says that this wisdom, earthly wisdom, does not descend from above. James chapter 3 and verse 15. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. The wisdom from below. Confusion is the talk of the day. Our world continually is set on fire by people who cannot control their tongue. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 33 says this, when there was confusion over speech in the Corinthian church, he says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Do you see? God is the author of peace. When we see around us that there's no peace, we realize that God is not the author. Because in his train, there is peace that follows along. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, brought peace to this world. When Jesus was born, the angels sang, peace on earth and goodwill to men. Jesus is the author of peace. And if we live in the atmosphere of heaven, we will disseminate peace here on earth. Here is the first thing that we need to know. Earthly wisdom is behind the tongue that creates confusion in its wake. If we realize this, we would use our speech a lot more wisely. Because when someone says something calculated to hurt you, you don't respond with hurt when you realize that You can't use that kind of wisdom to solve the problem. You need the wisdom of God. I love how this lady, and I shared the story before, this lady, she always had a problem with road rage. And whenever she would be on her way somewhere, as she's driving, someone would pull right in front of her and she would go off with her speech. She would spew every single word that she thought of that came to mind. She had no control over that tongue, even though no one could hear her. And one day, she decided to get up one morning. And as she entered her garage, she opened the passenger side of her car door and said, "Jesus, you ride with me today to work." She waited a few seconds, and then after she thought Jesus was in, she closed the door. And she's driving on her way to work, and lo and behold, someone does the same thing, pulled right out in front of her, and she's tempted to say something in that moment. And as she is about to say it, she says, "Jesus, did you see that?" And then she held her tongue. Jesus helped her. For our boasting, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, "For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundantly toward you." We should not boast about what we know about the conversations in this world. We should be ashamed of what we don't know about heaven. We should not boast because we bleed blue or red. We should be ashamed that we don't bleed the blood of Jesus Christ who purifies the soul. We should not boast because we are preferred in certain places or spaces. Which we should be ashamed that others are not welcome. We should not be boastful because we're rich. We should be ashamed that we don't care for those who don't have. That's James, the thrust of James' argument. James is fighting against this idea of inconsistencies in the Christian life. But the wisdom, he says, that is from above. The wisdom that is from above, verse 17, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Verse 18, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The wisdom that is from above has eight characteristics. It is first pure, and this is James' solution. The wisdom from above leads to purity in thought and in acts. Therefore, if we need purity in our lives, we need to seek the wisdom that is from above. It is peaceable. Therefore, if we need peace on earth, we should seek the wisdom that is from above. It is gentle, and those rough edges that we have in our lives, if we need them removed, we need to seek the wisdom from above. It is willing to yield, and this means that one is compliant when he has the wisdom of God. He is no longer inflexible in conversation. He's willing to give up his position. So we need the wisdom from above. It is full of mercy and kind. James comes back to this idea over and over in the book of James. Where there's no mercy, it means that God is not the one providing the wisdom. So the merciful. If we want to be merciful, we need wisdom from above. Earthly wisdom cannot solve our problems. There are too many hypocrites today, and we try to solve this problem with earthly wisdom, but even that won't be solved until we have wisdom from above. Beloved, what I'm telling you is we need to ask for wisdom from above. And we need to be doing that more and more today as never before. Because when we conduct our lives in the public spaces, we need to be wise. Jesus says we ought to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We must be wise as believers, as followers of Christ. And we need wisdom from above. We cannot produce this kind of wisdom as we cannot produce these characteristics in our lives. It is pointless to try to live the Christian life without Christ. It makes no sense because we cannot do it on our own. Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God. And therefore, if we need wisdom from above, we need Christ in our lives. We often say, "What would Jesus do?" And then we don't do what he would do. So James, we need wisdom from above. Now, how do we get this wisdom? James has a very simple solution, if you believe it to be true. He discusses this in James chapter 1, and I believe this is where the power comes. Here are the wise words from James. If any of you, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom. And when we talk about a sermon like this, it almost overwhelms you. You almost feel like there's no way out. I'm trapped by all of these things that I manifest in my life. I feel trapped. I cannot get out. I try my best to say the right words, but sometimes I go back in my thought and ask myself, why did I say that? James says there's a solution. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of who? Of God. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Have you ever been in a conversation where you're feeling like you want to say something, but in that moment you feel impressed that you need to pray and ask God for wisdom to respond? Lord, give me wisdom. James is saying, do that. That's what you ought to do. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. But notice God. I love this about God. He gives it how? Liberally. In my imagination, I see a child spreading peanut butter on their bread. You know, no discretion. All over the place. God gives wisdom liberally. Therefore, if we ask, he will give it. And he will give it in abundance, liberally. He provides. He doesn't hold back on the wisdom he provides. I'm humbled by the thought. I often hear people say, Pastor, you seem to have a lot of wisdom beyond your years. I think it's because God has worked in my life. It is because of his wisdom, him working in us, in you and I, that leads us to being able to respond. Let him ask of God who gives liberally and without reproach. You know what that word means? It means that God will never say to you, what took you so long? God will never say to you, it's about time you get it. God will never say to you, it's about time you turn this way and ask for wisdom. You've been trying to figure this out on your own. He'll never reproach you. He'll welcome your request. Let him ask of God who gives liberally and reproaches not. And when we seek God, the fires in paradise will be quenched. There are too many fires in paradise. And we need heavenly wisdom to quench those fires. There are people who are hurting, burning today because of the tongue. There are many forest fires that are blazing in many states. And until we get wisdom from above, we cannot produce any kind of solution. All we do is pour gasoline on the fire. And we create more problems. Children, as I speak to you and myself, the days are evil. And what we need is wisdom from above. We need God's wisdom, not our own. We need his wisdom when we speak. We need his wisdom when we go from place to place. We need his wisdom no matter what. We need wisdom from above. And there's only one source through which we can obtain this promise, this wisdom. James, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally. So because I know that the days are evil, because I know that things might not and will not get better, I should say, I pray that you and I will seek God for wisdom like never before. And that as Christians, when we contribute to any conversation out there, that we may be characterized by God's wisdom and not our own. So I want to invite you to stand with me. You standing is signifying that we don't have the wisdom we need to have. But you're also standing in faith, saying that today I want to ask God for wisdom. So that when I contribute to any conversation out there in the world, that I may use his wisdom and not my own. You standing today signifies that instead of relying on ourselves, we rely on Christ to produce in us that good fruits of the Spirit. And that we don't try to do these things on our own. As you stand, with me. I want to pray especially for all of us in our church, and for all of us in our community. I want to challenge you to change the world around you by being changed by Christ inside of you. And like the songwriter says, more of Jesus, I would know. More of His love to others show. More of His saving fullness see. More of His love who died for me. I pray that this may be our experience. Let us pray together. Loving Father in heaven, we submit to you ourselves, asking that you purify our hearts and our minds and our speech. Asking, dear Father, that you may help us to contribute from the standpoint of heavenly wisdom to any conversation or any dialogue. That when we open our mouth, Father, that wisdom may pour forth, and that it may promote health to those who hear us. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit may guide us into a deeper experience with you. And like James gave us the invitation, Father, we want to take that invitation today and say, Father, we lack wisdom. And we ask of you, and we ask in faith. Father, we don't want to waver on this request. We ask in confidence, knowing that as we ask according to your will, you hear us. It is according to your will for us to seek wisdom from you. And so, Father, we come seeking wisdom now. Pray that you provide it liberally as you are described to do so. And so, Father, I pray that you may change us now. That when we leave this place, whether it be in this house or in our own homes, when we leave wherever we are, that we may speak with the wisdom that comes from above, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to Jermaine Gale, pastor of the East Lansing University and Lansing Spanish Seventh-day Adventist Churches. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit one of his churches this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the East Lansing University Church at 504 Ann Street in East Lansing, Michigan, and their church service begins at 11:20 a.m. Or visit the Lansing Spanish Church located at 111 North Magnolia Avenue in Lansing, Michigan, and their church service begins at 11:30 a.m. This program is a Strong Tower Radio production.